This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use when working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Opiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Dr. Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in DC.
Hi, Christy.
Hey, Maggie.
How are you?
I am good. I'm really excited for today. Okay, so we're going to spend most of August and September talking about skills, and then we'll jump to another
topic. Let us know if there's people that you want us to talk to or topics that you want us to cover. And if there are things that you think would be really helpful for the social media, things that you would like us to do, then we can do that. Christy, how do you kind of explain or describe what reflecting content is and the benefits and purpose of it within child-centered?
When we think about why do we use reflective responding in child-centered play therapy, there's a variety of reasons for us utilizing reflective responding. When I look at reflective responding, not just feeling, but just they're who they are as human beings on this space, in this world. It also builds trust and safety for the child within our therapeutic alliance. I consider reflecting content similar to paraphrasing in the adult world of therapy. So it really is the verbal content. And again, similar to tracking without trying to add interpretation or heavy on the emotional side of it. So my responses are me rephrasing what the child has said to me. Mm-hmm. So not parroting, not a parrot would say the exact words back, but with the intention of what the child said to be able to convey that back to them. It requires a lot of active listening,
mm-hmm,
and listening to understand, not listening to respond. And I think it's about helping kids feel genuinely listened to and that they're cared about, right? And that there's empathy for their internal experiences. That's a big one for me. So they're not out there alone, and it builds a stronger therapeutic alliance when they feel heard and understood, and that we can experience their internal world.
Mm-hmm.
It also affirms emotions that sometimes don't get affirmed in other locations or with other people, as well as their experiences. And I can't tell you how often I listen to adults deny kids their experience. That's not what happened. That's not, you shouldn't feel that way. And from their perspective, that's what happens. So within CCPT, they start to learn that their perspective can also be right, that it's not always corrected by an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And not that that happens for every kid, but it does happen for some kids.
Yeah.
That causes, you know, emotional turmoil internally for them. So it helps them gain insight or self-awareness for themselves. And then it also supports their autonomy.
Yeah.
So they get to see themselves as capable and that their meaning-making of the world is trusted and validated.
Yes.
And I think that's a really important quality. So that support that we can give them is really detrimental for their long-term well-being and health.
Yeah, I think that's when you, right before you said trust, that's what popped into my head too, is that we trust them and we are responding in ways to show that we trust them. And I think a lot of times my students are very worried that we get it wrong. And that can happen with reflecting content or reflect or tracking, right? You may think that they're doing one thing, but they're actually doing something else. And so you're really trying not to put words in their mouth that aren't there, whether that be by labeling an object or trying to really encapsulate what it is that they're saying to you as you reflect that content back. Because you're trying to, again, you're trying to get the essence and understand what they're experiencing. And so if you are just saying like remotely, you know, like you pick that up, you're doing that, you, but that doesn't display those things, nor does parroting back, you know, I like ice cream, you like ice cream, right? That doesn't help either.
And I think that's where the biggest hiccup comes in, is sometimes we listen to respond. And when we listen to respond, we get stuck in parroting. And the purpose of a reflection of content is really to help the child organize their thoughts. It is to be a mirror so they can hear their own voice, to gain awareness. It's also intended to be encouraging, to get them to continue talking and sharing, to help us have greater understanding. And like the other two skills we've talked about, or the this bulk of skills, it's really about building that therapeutic alliance with your client.
Yeah. And it's really fun, even just out in the real world when we're with kids, watching how excited kids get when you reflect content and you are having a conversation with them in that way. You can really see how excited they get, that they're just like, someone's listening to me. And it's really, and it's heartbreaking and sweet at the same time. It feels really good that I'm able to do it. Then I'm like, oh, I bet like not everybody does this with kids.
Well, I think they also feel respected,
Yes.
right? Because we are not listening to correct, we're listening from for understanding. I think they then feel more respected as a person. And I think that's really important. And I
Value.
do. They do feel valued. And I do try to paraphrase in a way that's using some of their words, just not all of their words. So I don't want to change it to make it, which sometimes I know we can do as adults, to make it developmentally way up here where the child is, you know, developmentally here. I need my reflection to match where they are developmentally. And sometimes I can be down here and the kid can be up here, right? But I have to be able to match. I have the capacity to flip. The child doesn't always have the capacity to flip. And so really kind of helping them.
And I think this is true of all of the all of the skills really, but in reflecting reflective responses, but is trying to match their tone, whether it's tracking or feeling or reflecting content, is if I am up here and they're not, that doesn't help them feel understood. That doesn't demonstrate that I am with them and understanding them. And so really trying, I think we kind of alluded to this, and I didn't say it eloquently when we were talking about tracking, is that you need to match, you have to match their pace also. Not that you're so quiet all the time, you're still showing that you care. But if I have a client who is very quiet and is very deliberate and very slow, then I'm also going to be very, I'm going to match that, right? And you mentioned mirror neuron, and it's so important. You want to start mirroring and matching who they are. And so if they're telling you a story and or they're telling you about something that happened and it's really sad, if you go upbeat or positive because that's where you feel safest, then that doesn't, that also is sending a message to the child that maybe what they're sharing isn't okay, or that you don't understand them, or that it they shouldn't have felt that way. And so because we want to meet them where they are as opposed to where we are. And I think even to talking about development, it's about mirroring. It's not about interpreting or placing meaning on something that isn't there, or responding in a way that we wish it would be happier Or because kids, I think we also have to be recognized as people. We don't like it when people are sad, usually, or mad. And so, but are you responding in a way that it's demonstrating that you understand, or are you responding in a way for what you feel comfortable with? I think that's important to ask yourself.
Yes. I agree. And I think, especially when I first started, that was, I think, the harder task to do is really kind of match where they're at. But that takes time. I think sometimes when you're first starting, it does feel interpretive. But if you look at the whole scope of everything the child shared with you, it makes sense. It's not interpretive in nature.
Right.
If you just look at the final statement and then your response, it may feel interpretive.
We're not being like, oh, you clearly have a problem with your mother. Like that would feel interpretive.
Yeah. Or the tone that you give back could make it judgmental.
And I think like that's like we can sit here and we could come up with one, we could come up with one statement, a reflection, and we could use it with different like inflections and tones, and it would mean something different each time.
Yep.
Like, I really like your hair is very different than like, oh, I really like your hair.
Yeah.
So it's really about trying to, you're not just naming things as they're happening. You are reflecting what they are expressing.
No, I think it's important, you know, someone who is not fully engaged, and that's not our goal within child-centered play therapy. It's about like coming in and figuring out what you need to do so that you can really be fully engaged with.
How is that helping build a relationship? How is that demonstrating that you are in like contact with this child?
And I think that goes back to what are our beliefs about the mechanisms of change for children, right? It's the relationship that is the mechanism of change. And as you're talking, that's what I keep hearing in my head is, right, it's really like understanding what our big goal intention is within child-centered play therapy. It's not a whole bunch of skills or techniques that we're using. It's this idea of how can I be with you to understand you, to convey my understanding to you, to value you, to, you know, connect in a way that doesn't have a lot of judgment so that you feel valued, heard, understood, to master. So if that's something you're still working on,
it's okay.
It's okay.
I think there are plenty of times that a supervisor was like, you don't seem to be matching. You seem to be really happy here. What's going on? I'm like, oh, wow. Great observation. You caught me. But it's helpful to have those things pointed out because we're human.
Well, and we tend to be working so hard initially to utilize these skills and use the right skill that we miss those other more subtle, nuanced part of communication and relationships.
Yeah. So having kind of talked about like the purpose and the rationale and what it is, I'm curious, Christy.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
How do you see yourself using these skills in session? Or, which is hard to do, right? Because I think we're using them all the time in session.
Well, and it's, you know, this is flat out without having someone sitting across from you. I would guess for both of us, they come much more naturally now that if someone started to reflect or, you know, a kid started to play or guess what? Da, 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 right? That would be much easier for me to respond to than having to make something up out of
You want me to be a kid?
no.
Okay.
You want me to be a kid for you? But I think because these are our foundational skills, we probably use them the most frequently in the session. And I would say I use them in every session,
Every
where
session.
there are other skills that I may not use in the whole session,
Right.
but tracking, reflection of content, reflection of meeting, those are skills I use every single session. And I was thinking of another maybe content responses. I was working with a client and we were about to take a break from therapy because of life for my client. And this client was not thrilled about the idea of taking a break. They love coming to therapy. In fact, they've told me they're going to come for the rest of their life, that I'm going to be in their life forever.
Okay.
Did they know when they when I when she started to come see me that I was going to be with her until she's old and I'm old? And I was like, you really love coming here, because that's the content, that's the meaning behind all of that, right? That this is an important place for you and our relationship is important to you. And so to convey that to the client instead of correcting it, she's not coming to me forever. There's going to be a time I'm no longer fun and valuable, and she wants to come see me, which is great.
Hold on to that job security, Christy.
Right? I'm just going to record her. So when she says I no longer want to show up or just stop showing up, I'm going to
You
be like,
promise.
hey, we made an agreement on this date this many years ago, right? But the content that she's conveying is this is a really important place for this client, right? And that's the conveying of her wording without being parroted. You want to come here forever. That would be a parroted response, right? Instead of saying this place is really valuable and our relationship is really meaningful to you, right? And then she gave me a hug. So the tracking would be you wanted to show me how important this was, right? Because then that's what she did with her behavior, right? Here I'm coming at you. I need to give you a side hug because I was trained in the era that you don't give front hugs to clients. So
Side hug.
side hug,
Yeah. Are we
which
not?
is not something I request or ask for or anything like that. This is, you know, client initiated.
Yeah, no, you're not like, oh, you really like it here. Give me a hug. That would feel
Right.
creepy.
Or we have to get you have to hug me every time you leave.
Ugh.
That's like the aunt or, you know, great uncle,
Yeah.
but just doesn't feel good. We don't want to do those things either.
No, that's a whole other topic. But I think that's what it is. I think it's really hard when. Because they can be used together and they can be used interchangeably and they need to be used, right? You
And
can't,
they need to be used interchangeably. Like, you
right?
don't want to say track, 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 reflect content, track, 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 reflect a feeling. That's just not how therapy goes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think you have to practice because it does feel strange. And people might say you're talking strangely. A child might say that you're talking strangely. And you reflect that content back. You're not used to people talking to you this way.
Yeah.
And I
Feels
think,
funny to you or it feels different.
this is, you think this is strange.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm trying to think
I'm
like,
also not, I'm not afraid in my relationship with my clients to share why I talk this way either. It just happened a few weeks ago. I had a mom tell me that the daughter said to the mom, why does Miss Christie talk so funny? I don't know that I like it. So the mom said something to me, and I said something to the client. You know, your mom shared that you feel like you're not sure about the way I talk, or it makes you feel a little uncomfortable. And the client was like, I was like, oh, that's not my intention. I don't mean to make you feel uncomfortable. You know, I talk this way because I want you to know that I'm hearing you and I'm trying to understand you and the experiences you've had and the feelings that happen inside. And that's why I talk this way. And she kind of heard the client pause for a few minutes and then responded, "Oh, then that's okay." And I said, "Well, if it does start to bother you, just let me know. I can try to talk differently, but it is really the way I talk with everyone. It's not just you." And she was like, "Oh, okay." And then we just went on, and it has not been brought up since.
Yeah.
And I've had that with a few kids, but I think sometimes we are so, we haven't gotten to some of these skills, but it's almost like we have to return responsibility or like not be transparent with kids. And again, through transparency, I don't want to overburden them or put like what should be my responsibility on them. But I also think in relationship, that's part of being in relationship is helping them understand who you are. And, just like I fully accept them, I hope they fully accept me.
Yeah.
And if they need me to not do it as frequently, and some kids will tell me to shut up and be quiet and,
Okay.
seek a sense of control. And I'm like, you're really needing to be in charge of me today. Got it.
Yeah. And I think like all of those things are ways in which you're responding and demonstrating that you are understanding them and where they're coming from and how each child is going to be like their need will be different. And so you have to respond. It can't be just a blanket response that you give to everyone. It has to be tailored to that individual and what's needed and what they're asking of you and what they're needing of you. And it takes, I think that if I'm thinking about people who are just starting off in play therapy, it's like, okay, but like how and what and why, right? I think we've demonstrated the why. And I think the how that you get there is you practice. You just have to practice. And I'm trying to think about like, how do I explain this to my students when we're talking about these skills, right? It's
I
like,
tell them to practice with everyone and to designate time, multiple times a week. And maybe it is with your peer, maybe it's with your roommate, maybe it's with your partner, whoever it is, maybe it's with your dog, but you practice utilizing the skills.
yeah.
Because you're not going to grow comfort with them if you don't practice them.
Have to practice. I think when we talk about tracking, I think it is really important to remind people that you need to be attuned to the child so that you're not overwhelming them or that you are not demonstrating that you're not paying attention. Because it's awkward when you feel like someone's just watching you and hovering over you. My initial reaction, I don't know what this says about me as a person, but I was like, what are you thinking about me? Like, what am I doing wrong? And so that I don't want a child to have that experience. And I also don't want to put something on the child that they haven't express themselves. And so that's why I really try and get, I think that's a tenet of child center. And so I can't say exactly how much, when I review people's tapes and I'm using these skills to provide notes and feedback, okay, here you could have said this. And I try and give multiple ways in which like things they could say, because I think that's important that like have that. But it's, or you might be saying too much. What are you noticing about the child? And I think those are important things to kind of, as you're entering into this space and with these skills, these are the questions that I think are helpful for you to be reflecting on outside of the space is what was that feeling like for you? What was the child's response? What are you noticing in this space as you're doing this? Were there pieces that felt uncomfortable for you? Let's explore those things, right?
It's hard. I think you have to trust your intuition a little bit too. And the challenge as a new therapist is, right, you haven't built that therapeutic intuition yet. But like, as I'm going to call myself well seasoned, right, that there is this, because I can watch a video and be like, gosh, there's a lot of silence. Or I'm very overwhelmed. There was never a moment of silence. And so just looking, being able to evaluate both sides of that comes with a little seasoned intuition. And I think that's what Maggie's saying of giving yourself a shot of like trying it lots of different ways. The challenge is what I like and what the child like likes may be different.
Different.
So if I like more slow paced, like a not as frequent reflections, but then the child keeps looking at me and giving me cues that they're wondering what I'm thinking or why I'm not responding. Am I still paying attention? Different things like that. That should cue me in that I need to be speaking more frequently. And just like if I overspeak or I give no space for the child and they're feeling very watched, they're going to do things like turn their back, go into the tent, go behind the puppet theater, right? To find quiet spaces to be away from me, so that they, feel like they've got a sense of freedom and autonomy in the playroom, as it's really uncomfortable for them. So I think those are the things, maybe some things you want to watch for is like, how is the child responding?
Because they're going to give you messages. They're going to communicate that with you.
They are. They are.
And I think it, and that's what's hard. And it's just fun being able to talk about this.
It is fun. Maggie and I can totally geek out about this stuff for hours, as you can tell.
Yeah.
Thanks
Thank
for listening. Come
Yeah.
back next week so we can jump into our next skill.
Our next skill.
I know we're excited about this whole series. So
Yeah.
come back and listen. We've enjoyed having you today. And don't forget to like and subscribe below. And check out our webpage, playtherapyspace.com.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.